Welcome to Secret to My Success. For the next hour, you're going to hear fascinating stories from the people and personalities who found their success in business and in life. Now here's your host, Alan Bornstein.
Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with my buddy, Dawn. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
I'm good. Fantastic. Wonderful.
I think it's cute when you and I go out in public, people think we're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And your first response is,
like, no.
I barely know that dude. That's so cool. Thanks, Dawn. I'm going to remember that.
No problem.
You're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dawn, you know I own a payroll company, right?
Yes, I know that.
And it's funny. I've got these clients that come in here every once in a while, and somebody from one of those other large, obnoxious payroll companies convinced them that they should have every service that they're trying to sell.
Right.
So true story, guy comes to me and he says, Alan, I made a mistake. I said, what'd you do? He says, Alan, I went with their 401k. I'm like, you did? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what are you putting, like $300 a year in the program? He's like, yeah. I'm like, so, you know, the TPA fee for that is like $1,500 to $2,000 a year. He's like, I just found out.
Hmm.
So in essence, for him to break even, the guy's got to make six times what he put in. So if he put in $300, he's got to figure out a way to get $1,800 back just to break even.
Okay.
Now, doesn't that just seem a bit obnoxious?
Yeah.
So when I asked the guy why he did it, he says, Alan, the girl had legs up to her neck and I couldn't say no.
Hmm. Like the Yellow Book girls back in the day.
Exactly. You know, it's just crazy what my competition does, you know?
Yeah.
So here I am. I'm just a payroll guy with the Red Sox hat, and I'm not the, you know, the GQ dude or the pretty girls, but it's what I call the hit and run. So I decided to partner with the company.
Okay.
So we actually have two reps from Human Interest. I would like the both of you to introduce yourselves.
My name is Jan Russell, and I'm an account executive here at Human Interest. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We have one of your counterparts. Is she there?
I am here.
Lynette?
Hi, but I'm driving, so I'm just going to go in and out. But Lynette Rodriguez here, partner account manager at Human Interest, covering the Palm Beach County.
That is pretty amazing. So let's hear, where do you think people, small businesses, get it wrong with 401ks? That's for one of you girls to
answer. I think that they, where do people get it wrong?
Yes.
Is probably not realizing that there can be an easier, more affordable way. You know, legacy providers out there are, you know, notorious for having higher fees, but also requiring, like you just mentioned, Alan, the TPA for, you know, $2,400 a year. And it's a cumbersome process versus Human Interest is providing, you know, retirement plans that are affordable, and we're handling everything in-house so that it streamlines the entire process.
Okay, so let's take a step back. Employers want to put 401ks, retirement programs in because right now it's really hard to find employees. They want to retain them. They want to keep them. They want to offer some sort of incentive.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is what I see is most of these employers don't realize that, one, putting the plan in is just the start. And all these companies used to hide all the fees. They were just never good about being transparent. So there's fees. If you put $100 into your plan, you weren't really putting $100 in. You might have been putting $98 in. Money was going on the back. The employees were getting hit. The employers were getting hit. And then there's this thing called a 5,500. So one of you girls tell everybody what a 5,500 is.
Lynette, I'll let you answer that one.
So the 5,500 is the annual tax form that's required to be filed to report 401k activity. And it's a real, real pain to put together. Alan, I'm sure you've experienced clients coming to you and asking you for information to help put it together.
Oh, I'm pretty well aware of it. In fact, I went out and was negotiating to buy a TPA firm to do it, and I hated it. I actually gave it back to her. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So this TPA is what they usually bring in, and they do this 5,500. They charge crazy amounts of money. But what's really interesting is they just fill out the form, and if they did it wrong, me, Mr. Business Owner, I'm on the hook. I am the fiduciary.
Yes.
So that's a major problem.
It reminds me, Alan, of somebody doing your homework for you, and then you just put your name on it and turn it in.
Well, I'd like to think if I was getting somebody to do my homework, I was smart enough to make sure they were smart enough to do it right.
Totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they were going to play a joke on me and get them all wrong and have my name on it, it would just kind of be pretty funny on their part to watch me kind of wiggle through it.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So this 5500, it's got to be filed. Are there big penalties if you don't file it on time?
There are indeed.
Okay. So you've got the risk of filing late. You got the risk of filing it wrong. And at that point, they actually come over, they come after the business owner, and you are on the hook for this.
That's correct.
So let's say I take the money out of an employee's account through payroll, and I don't invest it right away into the program. I wait 90 days. I haven't gotten around to it. And then I move the money over. What kind of problems could I have if one of the employees says, wait a minute, that stock just went from here to here and I wasn't in it because you didn't make the payment?
Yeah. So that's actually, it's a red flag called a deposit timing failure. And there are also penalties for that. But then too, you're at risk of being sued as a business owner because you didn't deposit that employee's money on time, and so therefore they're missing interest, and you could have a potential lawsuit on your hands.
Okay. So let's say I'm a small business. I got three or four people, and I want to put a 401k in. Can you actually do it affordably? Because everybody thinks a 401k has got to be with large, big companies.
You are absolutely correct. So 34% of businesses don't start a 401k because they do believe it's too expensive. What Human Interest has done is we're offering cost-effective solutions for businesses of all sizes and for any type of demographic, all walks of life. So, yes, you can absolutely start a plan for very little cost, transparent pricing and zero transaction fees here at Human Interest. Plus, there are also tax credits from the IRS that will be paid to the employer for starting a new 401k plan.
Lynette, so I'd like you to tell people what a safe harbor plan is, because people have heard it, but they don't know what it means.
So a safe harbor plan essentially allows the highly compensated employees or the business owners of the plan to maximize their contributions into a 401k without running into any sort of compliance issues as it relates to being top-heavy or overly contributing or anything like that.
So top heavy, all the key executives put every dime they can in. You've got a handful of people that are saying, yeah, I don't even want to do it. Or they're putting in minimum amount of money. Is that what you mean by top heavy?
Top heavy just means that the owners are putting in the majority of the contributions and balance in the 401k plan, and that is not allowed.
Okay. What's the age of catch up to put more money in?
That's at 50 years old. So if you're 50 years old, you're able to defer $30,000 pre-tax or Roth into the 401k. If you're younger than 50, you can put $22,500 in.
Okay. So if we were to have a company that's putting a safe harbor in and there's an up to 3% max, isn't that safe harbor meaning that whoever puts money in, you have a match up to 3%? How does that exactly work?
So with a safe harbor plan, you can actually match up to 6%. But again, the kind of benefit of a safe harbor plan is if you do have highly compensated employees, which is defined as those that earned $135,000 or more in the past year, last year, or owners of the business, they're not subject to, you know, putting in, basically, when you don't have a safe harbor, you're highly compensated employees are only able to put in 2% greater than the average of all the non-highly compensated. So, for instance, if you had a bunch of employees that didn't contribute, zeros go against that average. And, for example, let's just say the average is 4%. Well, then the highly compensated would be able to put in 4% plus an additional 2% for a total of 6%. But what can happen is they're not able to put in as much money as they had hoped to. And therefore, they're subject to, you know, being limited in that case based on what everybody else does or doesn't do.
Okay. What would you guys say the average amount of time before an employee should be eligible to participate in a 401k?
I would say the average is probably 30 to 60 days.
Okay. So business owner says, I want to make it a year. I've been here longer than anybody else. It's a year. I want to contribute. And everybody here that's been under a year, I'm not going to accept them.
So, yes, 1 year of service is the most restrictive.
So is there a limit? Can I say 3 years, or is there an amount of time that I have to abide by?
Sure. There are rules. So it could be immediately upon hire. It could be 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months, or up to 1 year. That's the maximum, is 1 year of service.
Okay. And all this stuff is defined in what you call plan documents, correct?
You're so smart, Alan. Yes.
Okay. So you actually, for every new client, you have to have plan documents outlining exactly how your plan is going to be, correct?
You got it. That's correct.
Okay. And a lot of places charge crazy amounts of money for plan documents, and they make them redo plan documents for whatever reason, maybe changes in law, correct?
Sure, yes. And they charge for those amendments as well.
Okay. So you guys set all that up. You'll walk somebody through who says, look, I have no idea. I just, help me.
Mm-hmm. We do. We make it very simple to customize a 401k plan, and then we don't charge additionally for plan documents, nor do we charge for changes if you ever needed to make any to those plan documents down the road.
A few years ago, there were some major changes in the whole setup, and everybody had to go through a plan document change.
Yes, they did. Restatement fees.
Why was that?
So about every 5 or 6 years, 401k providers are required to update the plan documents to reflect the most recent legislative changes. And, legacy providers charge about $1,500 to restate those plan documents. That's another fee that we don't charge here at Human Interest.
Okay. What happens if somebody didn't do it? Whatever. I don't want to bother. Nobody's going to come looking for me.
They are definitely required to, and I'm not sure, but I do know that it's probably not good. It's a requirement, so.
Okay. So, plan documents. You guys set it up. You'll sit with somebody. You'll interview them, figure exactly what they want, go through options, and you'll come up with a plan document for them. And that's going to be the Bible of their 401k, correct?
You got it.
Okay. So at some point, somebody says, well, I just bought another company. I want to change it. I want my plan documents to look a little different.
Exactly.
And you could do that.
Yes.
If I own multiple businesses, can I have one 401k for all of them if I have common ownership? Or does each business have to have its own 401k?
You can. Alan, great question. So that's referred to as a controlled group. And so businesses that have common ownership or even identical ownership, so let's just say that we own two businesses and we're 100% owner, you can actually have one 401k plan that is umbrellaed and offered to both of them. So it's much more cost effective because it's one 401k, therefore one set of fees. And
okay.
That does up all the time.
So I love this. This is crazy that these people come to me and tell me they went out of their 401k and they're with one of the major payroll companies. And then this payroll company says, oh, by the way, we've been overcharging you for all these years. And if you want to leave, we're going to whack you on the way out.
Yes, it's the worst. It's called deconversion fees.
Okay.
And so they charge most of the legacy providers or even the payroll companies that you're referring to will charge a $1,500 to $2,000 deconversion fee, which is a fee that is if you're moving your plan from there to like Human Interest. Now, one thing that we don't charge deconversion fees. We also don't charge termination fees, nor do we have a termed contract. But we actually will reimburse the client for that fee, which is really unique. So we do have, a credit that we'll issue to the client to help make that a less painful expense.
So if somebody's moving over from another plan, or even if they were, let's say they were in a PEO or employee leasing, and they create their own 401k, you'll do the plan documents, you'll move all the money over, all the assets over into this plan, would they still be eligible for tax credits? Because
so,
it's now their own plan.
So the tax credits, it depends on, so if the plan has been started within the last 3 years, then yes. So that's how that works. It's for the first 3 years a plan has been, you know, started, you're eligible for those tax credits. So if you're within that window, then yes, you would be eligible to receive the tax credits.
Tax credits are confusing to a lot of small business owners. Explain that.
Sure, I can. So there's three different types of tax credits that are applicable. The first is for the administrative fees. So essentially, if you have a business that's got 50 or less employees, then the IRS is going to credit the 100% of the administrative costs back to you. For businesses that have 51 employees to 100, it's going to be 50% of that annual administrative cost will be, returned in the form of a tax credit. So that's the first one, Alan. And then secondly, there is a $500 tax credit for the first 3 years if you enable a feature called automatic enrollment, which simply enrolls employees when they become eligible automatically. So that's $500, $1,500 over the course of 3 years. And then the last tax credit is for employers that decide to make a matching contribution. So they offer a match. And that's a really nice one. So it actually pays $1,000 per employee that's earning less than $100,000 a year. And that's for the first 2 years. And then it tiers down to paying 75% year three, 50% year four, and 25% year five. So an example would be if an employer has, let's say, 30 employees and they're all earning less than $100,000, it would be $30,000. If you take 30 employees times $1,000, right, equals 30,000. Did I do that right? I think it did. And that's for the first 2 years. And then it would be 75% of 35,000 on year three, 50% of 30,000 year four, and then 25% on year five.
So you could use that money as a big chunk to cover your safe harbor program that you have in place that you're using to match employees' contributions, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You can even set like a dollar amount cap. So a lot of clients have been offering a 3% match up to $1,000 because the IRS tax credit is paying them that reimbursement, right? So that's also an option.
Okay. Lynette, stop talking. Lynette, are you there?
Lynette,
I'm
stop
so
talking.
Sorry.
So
I'm
loud.
On the road.
Okay, Lynette, tell me, why would I come to you instead of anybody else who is coming to me all day long, twice on Sunday, telling me they want to offer 401ks and IRAs to our clients?
Well, Alan, I think the big thing is because of our technology, we're able to make it super simple for both the administrator running the plan as well as the employees enrolling into the plan. And as Jan mentioned earlier, we're really big on transparency, right? So you can see our fees right on our website. There's no secrets. It's our cost is our cost, and we're super low on the internal fees versus the typical industry average.
I have an employee comes to me and says, hey, I need some help trying to figure out my W-4, and I'm telling him, sorry, I'm not going to help you. You need to figure that out, because if I tell you one thing, you under, over, you're going to owe taxes. So I'm an employer, and somebody comes to me and says, yeah, we got a 401k, and my employee says, so tell me, which fund should I go into? Why is that such a no-no? Why would I not
right.
want to give advice to my employees on where they should put their money in their 401k?
It's a major fiduciary liability, right? They could always come back and say that their money was mismanaged or you put them in the wrong investment. And everybody's a little bit different, right? My financial situation is going to be a lot different than yours or than Jan's. So you never want to make any financial recommendations for your employees.
Okay. So if somebody's with Human Interest and an employee's got questions and I'm the boss and I'm saying, you got to go to our people. We brought them in for a reason. You guys going to walk them through and help them on an individual basis with their investments?
We'll help them, you know, get enrolled. Our platform has built-in investment advice that does take the guesswork out of selecting the funds, which is very important. So we do help them with properly getting enrolled and then, of course, assessing that risk assessment per their unique situation and lifestyle. So yes, they can always call us, they can email us, they can also chat with us.
Okay. The rumor has it that if you're leaving one 401k to another, like human interest, that it is a nightmare. That all the things I got to go through to get the money out of the accounts, to get it funded again, that people are like, ah, I don't want to do it. Tell me.
Lynette, you want to answer?
Traditionally, it could have been a nightmare for both. But again, because we have the teams and the support and the technology, we make it super simple. In terms of getting your money over to human interest, if you have an existing 401k somewhere else, it's as easy as going online and just requesting rollover instructions. And that money will transfer right over to human interest. As for the conversion, when you're moving an entire plan over to human interest from another provider, we have great people like Jan Russell who are super educated on 401k and all the ins and outs and can walk you through that entire process.
Okay. So an employee comes to me and says, I want to buy a house. I don't have the money. I got money in my 401k. I want to take a loan against my 401k. Business owner says, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah, business owners are able to take a loan. I mean, any employee is able to take a loan against the 401k.
Okay.
It's no charges, no fees, no penalties for doing that. And that goes back to the fact that we don't charge any transaction fees. They're able to have one loan at a time, and you can take up to 50% of your account balance.
It's unheard of to not have transaction fees, though.
It's unheard of to not have transaction fees, yes. And they're really expensive on a loan. There's a setup fee, and then there's also a maintenance fee. So it does get to be quite pricey.
Okay. So if somebody wants to find out how affordable this is or how they could do this, how do they reach you guys? Give me a website, a phone number. Give me any information you think that you can share so we can get people to call and figure out if this is the right thing for them.
Sure. So you're always able to call Jan Russell, 251-454-1312. And then Lynette, if you want to leave your number, that'd be great too.
Yeah, 561-223-7682.
Say that one more time, Lynette, slower.
561-223-7682.
And your territory is? You guys work all over Florida?
We're a national company, so we can work with anyone.
Okay. Excellent. Anything you guys want to put as we wrap this up?
It's a great time to start a 401k. There's lots of tax credits on the table, and I think you'll be pleased with the affordability.
Lynette?
Thanks for having us on, Alan. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, girls.
Thanks, Alan.
I appreciate it. Love working with you guys. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You got it.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Does your business have at least one employee? Did you get PPP money round one? Did you wait too long to get round two? Even if you got PPP round one or two, or didn't get a dime of PPP, you might be eligible for money for employing people during the pandemic. The program is called Employee Retention Credits. ERC is being advertised all over the radio, TV, and internet. Companies are popping up promising you hundreds of thousands of dollars from the government. They are charging really large fees too. The ERC program is legitimate. The question is, are you using a legitimate company to get what you deserve? Many of these companies have popped up and will disappear after they've been paid. ERC is a payroll program. You want to trust an established and stable payroll company that will be there for you if there are ever questions from the IRS. Workgroup Payroll will evaluate what you are eligible to receive. No shortcuts, you will get paid what you deserve. Our fees are lower than anyone trying to get your business. We do not earn a dime until you receive your ERC money. Call us now to see how much money your business is legitimately eligible to receive. 561-953-2007 or email Alan at workgrouppayroll.com. Workgroup Payroll. We love small business. From one part-time employee to 300, we want to be your payroll partner. If you have questions about employment taxes, PPP forgiveness, or employee retention credits, we can help.
your business can be getting up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and $7,000 per employee per quarter for 2021. Let's talk about how that works for your business. Call 561-953-2007. Would you rather get better service and pay less, or less service and pay far more? It really will take less than 10 minutes to save over 20% switching to Workgroup Payroll. We make switching easy. Get the service you deserve, the price you like. If you are using a large national payroll service, we want to help you. Call 561-953-2007.
Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success. Don, how are you?
I'm good.
You look wonderful today.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan.
What's that necklace thing you're wearing there? What is
it? It's a crystal.
Is it crystal?
Yes.
And what's it supposed to do? Crystals have healing.
Healing, positive energies.
Is it working?
That kind of good stuff. Most of the times it works, yeah.
It looks like if you pulled it off, you could use it as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The point.
Like poking somebody in the eye with a crystal?
Mm-hmm. Right in the temple.
Is that what
that's
it is?
That's not good.
Not good at all. Okay. So we have two gentlemen. Today is our resource weekend, and we just talked to the folks from Human Interest. We're going to talk today about another one of the most boring subjects in the entire world. Don, do you know what it is?
Payroll?
No, payroll doesn't have to suck. No, it's not payroll. It's called legalized gambling.
Oh, okay. That's what we're talking about?
Legalized gambling. Every year, I make a bet with my insurance company that my house isn't going to burn down, my car's not going to get stolen, my business is not going to have a liability, my roof's not coming off. This legalized gambling is insurance, and it is who we pay crazy amounts of money to make sure that we're protected. So, businesses. Let's talk about insurances that business must have. Let's first get into this thing called workers' comp. We have with us Dan. Say hi, Dan.
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Dan, your name?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm here. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Dan, your name?
My name is Danny Palmasic.
Okay. And what do you do, Danny?
I'm an insurance agent, 220 agent.
Okay. Mr. Kevin, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Kevin Bell with WGP Insurance Services. I am also an agent producer.
Okay. So it's interesting. Both of you guys have this insurance background, but you actually have other background which would complement this insurance background. So, Dan, you were doing some contractor work, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And as much as you love that, you're back in the insurance business.
That's because it's what I know.
Okay.
And I'm good at.
Okay. And Kevin, you used to be a restaurant managers, right? You ran a couple different
Correct.
Successful restaurants?
Yeah, I was the general manager for a couple establishments for Ocean Properties, part of their hotel chain, and it was the infamous Pete Rose Ballpark Cafe.
But you actually started fixing pinball machines and things like that, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my original forte, and then just kind of naturally progressed into the restaurant side of things.
Okay. So let's talk about a little bit of workers' comp. We'll get into some other policies. So what is the biggest misunderstanding, do you believe, in workers' comp here in the state of Florida?
Biggest misunderstanding is whether people need it or not, or if they know they need it or not. Some, obviously, in the construction industry, you're required by the state of Florida, by law, even if you have one employee, that you're required to carry workers' comp for that one W-2 employee.
Okay. So
retail's and clerical is a little different.
Okay, so retail clerical, you can actually have under four employees, including yourself, and you are not required by law to have workers' comp, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
So, Danny, explain that if I do not have workers' comp and I've got three employees, including myself, and one of those employees slips and falls and cracks their head open, of course I'm not liable because I'm exempt from workers' comp, correct?
No, you can exempt yourself just because you're an owner, but The employee has to have, you have to have comp for that employee.
Okay, let's rephrase that, Danny. So if by law I don't have to have workers' comp for three people or less, and I don't have workers' comp, and one of my employees slips and falls and cracks his head open, because I'm exempt by the state for not having to have it because it's under three, I shouldn't be liable for anything that happens to that employee, even though I don't have workers' comp.
That's not true.
Oh, good. It was a trick question. I'm glad you got it. Okay. So if I don't have it and something happens to one of those employees, they can come after me, correct?
Personally, yes.
Okay. Personally and professionally. They could sue the business. They can come after me personally.
That's correct.
Okay. If I do have a policy in place and somebody gets hurt or even worse, dies on the job, and I have a workers' comp policy, what are my damages limited to?
To what the policy pays, to what the policy limits are.
Okay, but it would be only workers' comp. They can't sue me for anything else. Only workers' comp, correct?
That is correct.
Which one of you wants to explain what a bop is? And it's not a dance.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'll take that. Kevin here. A bop is short for business owner policy. Covers a lot of retail as well as restaurants. And it's like a general liability policy, but it encompasses more of the property, the personal, professional property, as well as the building property. Also business income expense. If you were down for, let's say, 24 hours due to, you know, things out of your control, this would kick in that coverage to reimburse the business owner for loss of income. Also, it covers things like your TVs, your equipment, your signage, shrubbery, plate glass window, and really kind of goes into more in-depth plans depending on what type of business you're in. You know, if it's a restaurant business, then the BOP would also include equipment breakdown of your, let's say, your refrigeration units, which would also have a rider for spoilage. And those are all limits that are variable that you can decide with the business owner as far as their inventory costs and what,
hey, Kevin, what limits. So this BOP seems like it's a more encompassing policy than having to get a general liability policy, a spoilage. Like, if you don't have it as bundled as one, you have to go out and get multiple coverages, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you'd have to add those to an existing GL policy, which, of course, is going to raise the premium. In the state of Florida right now, BOPs are sort of a passing type of coverage. A lot of carriers are dropping their BOP coverage just due to, everybody's blaming Hurricane Ian that hit the west coast of Florida last year. And they don't see it really letting up until mid of 2025, of course, barring any more future hurricanes. But because the BOP has that property, that physical property aspect to it, a lot of carriers are getting away from the traditional BOP.
Okay. Danny, we're going to double back to you. Quick question for you. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to shop my workers' comp. There must be a better rate I can get. What would you tell them?
Well, the rates are actually set by the state. There are carriers that will do a pay-o or pay-as-you-go. And there are the way that you can control your cost, because the rates are the same and across the industry, is to concentrate on your experience model. And what that is, it takes your payroll and losses and compares that to others in your industry. So if you have a 0.8, experience mod, you have 20% off of the state rate.
And an experience mod is based on your history of not having claims?
Well, no, it takes into account claims. It's a calculation of the payroll and the claims.
Okay. So somebody says, "Well,
so
I got
it." Go to a 1.2, then you're paying 20% more than the state rate.
Okay. Somebody says, "I got a cheaper plan because my employees aren't this; they're this." What happens to people that sell these policies and they've misclassified the employees?
They get a huge audit when it's over. NCCI can audit them out at any point, and then they charged for wherever the class code actually is.
I went and bought a car insurance policy years ago, and I found out that if you're in Florida, you can't negotiate it. So if I'm in Connecticut and I'm buying a car, I can sit with them and say, no, I'm not giving you $1,000 for that policy. I'll give you $400. They can negotiate. But in Florida, we have this beautiful law that says you cannot get a discount on insurance. In workers' comp, they've gotten around that, and they do what's called a dividend. Explain what a dividend is.
A dividend is something that the carrier will give back to the policyholder controlling their claims.
So,
and it's a reward for controlling their claims.
What would be a traditional dividend on a policy?
Sometimes up to 20%.
Okay, so they'll give you up to 20% if you don't have any claims, if you're clean.
Correct.
Now, do all insurance carriers do that, or just some of them?
No, not all of them. Some don't offer it.
Okay. So explain traditional workers' comp versus a payo program, please.
Well, a payo is where the workers' comp is calculated based on payroll. So each time that you run your payroll, you're charged times the rate for your premium. So there's virtually no audit at the end. And it helps, especially with construction and fluctuations in payroll. Because the more payroll you have, the more premium you pay. And then, you know, if you have less payroll for a month, then you pay less on the workers' comp.
Versus a traditional. How does a traditional workers' comp program work?
They just take the premium and divide it by 12. You have a down payment, and then you have the same payment each month, regardless of the payroll.
So who determines that payroll? Because at any given point, my payroll January could look significantly different than July.
That's correct.
So who determines the initial payroll on a traditional workers' comp policy?
It's based on an estimate for the year.
Okay.
Instead of paying each month, it's based on an estimate.
So let's say my estimate's way off and I have twice the payroll that I had. When do they catch up to me?
At the end of the policy term.
Okay.
You get a big audit.
And then I have to pay them a lot of money?
Correct.
Okay, so let's say my payroll
isn't. That's why the payout is so much better.
So let's say beginning of 2020, I estimated my payroll to be $2 million. COVID comes and my payroll is $200,000, not $2 million.
Then you get a refund. You get money back.
Okay. And that comes through an audit, correct? So somebody's got to go and look at all the payroll details, figure it all out. And what do you think the average time frame is to get the refund for the payroll that you didn't use?
Probably, I'd say 2 or 3 months, depending on the carrier.
Okay. Excellent. So, Kevin, talk to me about cyber liability. How does that work?
Well, as I'm sure you've heard, there's been a lot of cyber attacks based off of, you know, just the local news, some hitting some major, you know, facilities like water treatment plants and train rail stations. You know, everybody's susceptible to cyber attacks, whether through email phishing, where they send you a link that looks legitimate. You click on it, and then you've just given the hackers access to everything in your system. They can go through all your servers and pull your client information and use it, you know, for, you know, evil. As far as the cyber liability, we write policies to protect our insureds, our clients, for those attacks should they occur. We have limits, you know, based off of their gross sales, their payroll, will determine the premium, but also types of protections like two-factor or multi-factor authentication for accessing their server and their business. That'll help with lowering the premium. We have seen an increase in the premium cost for the cyber coverage, but cyber will ultimately get more, I would say, you know, better in what they cover. A lot of the cyber attacks are utilizing banking information for fraudulent transactions as well. These cyber policies would protect on anything based on cyber, and the limits, you know, could be up to $3 or $4 million if you so choose.
Okay, so I have a restaurant. I'm collecting credit cards. My credit card machine goes down. I have a cyber liability policy, and my business took a beating for 2 days until it came back up.
Yeah, so there would be a limit imposed on that policy. Most of them that I'm writing are an 8-hour, which would be a limit of 8 hours down without business. Then the cyber policy would kick in.
But it would cover...
Reimbursement would take place.
But it would cover the technology that I'm leasing, correct? Like, I don't own the terminal. I'm just getting my services, my merchant services from somebody else. They went down. I'd still be covered with a cyber policy?
Yes, because your business was affected.
Okay. Unlike if I have a cyber policy and I have a business where I store all this data and somebody hacks into the system and steals valuable data, cyber policy would protect me from... That's a question.
The cyber policy would also protect against that type of theft. That gets a little bit more complex in actually knowing what information was taken and how it was utilized. But the adjuster that would be assigned to that claim would dig in and do all of that dirty work for you.
Okay. Danny, wake up.
I'm here.
You there? So you like writing stuff for construction business. Why?
Well, obviously the premium's there, which is a good thing for all of us agents. But I also, I really enjoy working with those type of people and working with those policies. A lot of times when I take over a policy, a lot of contractors don't really understand the experience mod, like we talked about before. They don't understand the nuances of the workers' comp. I enjoy the people. I like them as people. They're hardworking people. And it's just what I enjoy, the type of client I like.
Okay. What do you think the hardest type of policy is to write now? They've always said roofers are next to impossible.
Yeah, roofers are tough. But property is a big issue right now in the state.
As far as property wind?
Big issue. With everybody pulling out, a lot of carriers are pulling out. And the only options that are left are citizens in a lot of cases.
But the citizens write commercial property?
Yes.
Really?
Wind. Yes, I do.
Okay. Because at one point, citizens was the insurer of last resort, and now it's become the insurer of only resort.
And that's true, especially in larger commercial buildings.
Okay.
And even residential, too. I mean, it's becoming the only option.
I'm a small business. I just started out. I've got a little pickup truck. I'm going to go get another truck. Why do I need commercial car insurance versus private car insurance?
Well, it depends on who owns the vehicle. If the vehicle's owned and titled in the company's name, it needs to be on a commercial policy.
Okay. I know on some places when I go to get my private insurance, they ask me if I'm using the vehicle for business and commercial use.
That's correct.
So if I tell them I'm Ubering, people don't want to talk to me. So
you're right.
If I'm telling somebody, you know, one of these retail car insurance agencies that I'm not using my truck for business, but I've got a sign on the side of my truck that says I'm a plumber, electrician, a woodworker, doing whatever it is. Do I get into trouble if I, once again, it's in my name, but I'm using it for commercial use and I'm advertising and promoting my business on the side of that truck?
Yeah, if you let the carrier and the agent know that you weren't doing that, there could be a problem with coverage.
Okay.
Well, there'd be more likely a problem in addition to that with any claim that should arise. If you're on your way to a job or if you're on a job site when an accident should occur, that's all going to be investigated, and it'll be found out by the claims adjuster that's assigned to that claim. And when they find that out, that you were, in fact, utilizing your vehicle for commercial use and you did not have that coverage, you could be declined that claim, and then you'd be on your own for any damages to the vehicle or to anyone else that might have been injured in that accident.
That's correct.
So
it's best to be upfront, and, you know, really, as an agent, it's our job to really kind of drill down and find out exactly what the purpose of the vehicle use is so that we're writing it correctly.
I'm about to have a company come into my house, do some windows, do some doors. They tell me they're licensed and insured, and their idea being insured is that they have an exemption, so none of the employees carry workers' comp. That person comes into my house, slips, falls, something happens to them. Do they have the right to sue my homeowner's insurance because they don't have workers' comp?
Yes, they can do that.
Yes.
Okay. So if somebody says to you...
The only exemption, as you mentioned, is for the ownership. If they're employees, that exemption does not apply to them. So they're going to come after you. They'll probably go after your homeowners first and then possibly after their employer.
Okay. So if I'm a homeowner and you're telling me that you're licensed and insured, there's this thing called a certificate of insurance that I can ask you to provide me with my name on it to make sure that you've got coverage?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
You could be named additionally insured on their policy.
So if I'm going to hire a contractor and he tells me we're just not doing that, safe to assume that maybe they don't have the right coverage in place?
That's safe to assume. You can assume that.
Okay.
And that's probably someone I wouldn't let on my property.
Fair enough. Hey, guys, how does somebody reach you?
You can also...
Yep. Kevin?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can also do your own research on that company and look on the state website, at least for the workers' comp coverage, which is, you know, regulated and tracked through the state website to see if they actually do have the coverage in place.
Okay. How does somebody reach you guys?
You know, well, we can be reached at area code 561-953-2007. I, Kevin, at extension 104, and Danny, you're extension 105 over there.
I am 105. That is correct.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Once again, the phone number is?
561-953-2007, extension 105, and extension 104.
Fantastic. Kevin, what is your email if somebody wants a link to that website to see if a potential company that they want to do business with has workers' comp? How do they get you?
Yes, be happy to help you out. It's Kevin B, as in Bell, at WGPIS.com.
Fantastic. So if you send an email to Kevin, you'll send them the link so they can look and make sure that their contractor actually has a workers' comp policy in place, correct?
That is correct.
Fantastic.
Be happy to help you out.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having you both on the show, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Workgroup Payroll. We love small business. From one part-time employee to 300, we want to be your payroll partner. If you have questions about employment taxes, PPP forgiveness, or employee retention credits, we can help. your business can be getting up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and $7,000 per employee per quarter for 2021. Let's talk about how that works for your business. Call 561-953-2007. Would you rather get better service and pay less, or less service and pay far more? It really will take less than 10 minutes to save over 20% switching to Workgroup Payroll. We make switching easy. Get the service you deserve, the price you like. If you are using a large national payroll service, we want to help you. Call 561-953-2007. Does your business have at least one employee? Did you get PPP money round one? Did you wait too long to get round two? Even if you got PPP round one or two, or didn't get a dime of PPP, you might be eligible for money for employing people during the pandemic. The program is called Employee Retention Credits. ERC is being advertised all over the radio, TV, and internet. Companies are popping up promising you hundreds of thousands of dollars from the government. They are charging really large fees too. The ERC program is legitimate. The question is, are you using a legitimate company to get what you deserve? Many of these companies have popped up and will disappear after they've been paid. ERC is a payroll program. You want to trust an established and stable payroll company that will be there for you if there are ever questions from the IRS. Workgroup Payroll will evaluate what you are eligible to receive. No shortcuts. You will get paid what you deserve. Our fees are lower than anyone trying to get your business. We do not earn a dime until you receive your ERC money. Call us now to see how much money your business is legitimately eligible to receive. 561-953-2007 or email alan@workgrouppayroll.com. Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success. For more episodes, go on over to secrettomysuccess.com. That's secret, the number two, mysuccess.com.